Good morning. You're listening to Rainmakers on this lovely Monday morning, June 9th. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and so happy to be here with you. Matt Neely, thank you for all of those highlights. We are so sorry to hear about the death of Officer Facio. That's terrible news, and so much can happen when our law enforcement, when our safety officials, when our emergency responders and first responders are out in the field. And so our prayers go out to his family. And, you know, it's interesting. We announced last week some of the highlights of June, the month of June. And not only is it National Men's Health Month, and we have Pride, and in this month is National Women's Veterans Day that is celebrated every June 12th and Juneteenth coming up. But we also, I learned that it's National Safety Month, and I think safety really goes far and wide. So we do pay tribute to all of our first responders who really are putting their life on the line and to protect us and to make sure we are all safe and that our communities are well had. So again, condolences out to the Facio family and the Apache Junction PD. It's a hot one, and I know that we talked about rainmakers, and just a week ago we had some lovely clouds and nice breezes going on. It was we're clearly into summer, and that's okay because that's what we love. We're in the Southwest. We've got lots of sun going on, and many more things that really bring so much attraction to our Southern Arizona community. So I'm excited to have in studio this morning our guest Ariel Barrera. Welcome, Ariel, to the KVOI studios.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's so exciting that we're going to have lots of conversation today in our Rainmakers show. Ariel is owner of Aero Automotive here in Tucson, a very successful and wonderfully friendly automotive shop. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to touch a little bit on being a father figure, being a father, but also in the theme of upcoming Father's Day, and also continuing the theme of National Men's Health Month. We're also going to be talking about dads and docs and what that means about fathers and caregivers, which includes doctors and other physician assistants and folks who are in the health and wellness space and what they're doing out in community. You and your family and your business give an awful lot to community by way of a new initiative, Cars for Tucson. So we're going to have fun talking about that as well. Matt, go Cats. It seems like we've had some excitement.
That? Was that something else?
It was very exciting to know that they're going on to World Series and some more excitement there. Ariel, I don't know if you're a sports guy. I'm going to guess that you're following the Cats.
now I am. It's great to see a local grad help out with that win. I love
yes.
that.
Right. Mason White, you yeah. bet. South Point guy, yeah.
That's right. Local. So, Ariel, may I call you Ari?
Yes.
I know that's how you prefer to go. It's so exciting to have you here. I know that we've known each other a little bit out in community and have some mutual friends and colleagues and other people who I say stir up good trouble with their time, talent, and treasure. Tell us about, well, before we get too much into your business, tell us a little bit about your journey. I understand that you are a native of Tucson. We've talked a little bit about your growing up here, but then you spent a number of years in the LA area, and boy, is there a lot going on over there right now. Riots and, you know, just coming out of wildfires and all kinds of other things. That I wonder, for all the years that you were there, was it always that dynamic? Was there always so many things going on all around you?
Yes, and that's what I loved about the Southern California area. If you've ever lived out there or been out there for an extended period, it is as chaotic as you see.
So. As it seems, the headlines are true.
And I grew up here, like you mentioned, and I just was always drawn to big cities. Mm-hmm. I would go and see the skylines and the lights. And my first experience was with visiting my sister. She moved out to Jersey for a while.
Oh,
and
that's a different kind of skyline
yeah.
and lights.
Yeah. Well, you know, she lived like, you could take the path and go over to New York and you
sure.
know, be there in a minute. It was pretty quick. And so I'd visit, check that out, and that. That was just eye-opening, right? You grew up mm-hmm. in the desert, and this is all kind of what we knew.
Yeah, visit. Like, what's the SOPA?
yeah, what is that, you know? And, I mean, we would travel a bit. My dad was great. He'd take us to Dodger games. We grew up going to L.A. to watch the Dodgers and going to Mexico and visiting family. but never big cities. And so when I saw that, it was just mind blowing, really. And my sister then moved to Puerto Rico. She was working for an airline.
Wow.
And I visited.
Yes, lovely island.
And in dramatic fashion, I was always a little creative, you know, dramatic person myself, I think. I once had a round trip ticket and stayed. I went to visit her, and I called my dad and I said, sell my truck. I'm just going to stay here.
Oh, goodness.
In San Juan, you know. He's like, you're kidding me right now. I'm like, no, I'm just going to hang out
like
here for
I'm
a while.
In. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, so hung out
from
island.
From tequila to rum.
Right, and hung out on the island, explored. There's like quick flights to Miami, mm-hmm. right? Because you're mm-hmm. right there, and started visiting Miami. Then I moved there.
Wonderful.
And then unfortunately, my mom was having health issues, and I was traveling back and forth a lot. And that's a full day of travel with no direct flights from Tucson to Miami.
Yes.
And so I asked my employer at the time. They were gracious. They were so kind. I was not management at all. And they moved me. They said, the best we can do is L.A. Because I asked if I can be moved closer to mom.
Oh, but be able to stay with the same company. Oh, good for you.
And they were like, the best we can do is L.A. Mm-hmm. And they were so kind. They paid for my moving expenses. They gave me a moving bonus. They did all this that usually you do for like middle management or above, right?
Sure, new hires.
Yeah, and they were great. So,
that's wonderful.
That's how I ended up in LA, and I was there for about almost 8 years.
Yeah. Now, if I recall, you were working for a big company that is in the industry of insurance. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, for over a decade, I was in auto damage. So I was the guy that would come out to your house or your body shop, and after an accident, mm-hmm. And some folks didn't like me much. I totaled their car if I had to. You know, it's all software-based, by the way. There's not a whole lot of decision-making anymore.
So you were assessing whatever the damage was, exactly. What the worth was, what the insurance... Oh, I see. So sometimes it was good, and sometimes they were exactly. disappointed.
And that's a traumatizing experience for most folks, right? After, you know, nobody wants to be in an accident. And so I did that, and I do enjoy that work, auto damage. And my last employer was the Hartford, and... They're a great company, by the way. A little plug for them. At that point, I was a virtual. Everything. A lot of jobs are going virtual now, sure. Of course. So customers send photos or videos and assess damages that way.
First of all, thank you for sharing that. And how wonderful that you were able to go from the Sonoran Desert to the island of, you know, of San Juan and or the island of Puerto Rico, but be in San Juan and all the different cities and towns and just a very different, you know, the Caribbean being a different experience. And then over to Miami, which in itself is just a metropolis, very cosmopolitan, lots of different cultures, gators and alligators. Yikes. That and sharks are the only part I don't like about there, but Miami's a lot of fun, lots of culture going on there too. And then popping back over to LA and West Coast, very different beaches than Miami. Different.
Water's so cold.
Oh, yes.
I forgot how cold it was.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Not the same kind of experience, but LA itself has a very interesting vibe and, you know, but at the same time, lots of traffic, lots of other challenges in such a big city that holds so much industry and is a, what I want to say, just a hub of so many different things. And to have you with your foot in insurance and in automotive, sounds like maybe you got the bug to then be on the other side of providing service. Is that what kind of sparked you to open up a shop? Did you have a shop in LA as well?
I managed a shop for a short time, okay. For a few years. So I managed a shop for someone else.
That's what got you more familiar on that. Yeah. And then eventually came back to Arizona. And I was going to ask you, though, with when you were mentioning that on the insurance side, on the assessment side of damages, being virtual, being that everyone's, you know, leveraging technology and being able to upload photos immediately from mobile phones and such, was there any training or some kind of way of determining whether or not a photo maybe had been photoshopped, so to speak, altered in any way?
Great question. There wasn't any formal training, but almost like, I'll give you the example of, you know, folks who are very, I don't know, experts on money, mm-hmm. like, and they see a counterfeit bill and they know immediately.
They just know.
You just know. You see it so often, so many years, you see damage, you see it, that when something weird comes across your desk, You know, it's I can't explain
it's
it.
It's subliminal, like, but your brain is tingling. You get a spidey sense.
Yep, and you can, and Google's had that, Google Photo or whatever for a while now. Mm-hmm. You can quickly grab a photo you feel is a little off, upload it, and it might pop up on a Google search. So a customer could have, so a customer could have found a photo of a damaged car that's like theirs, and they just, you know, downloaded that photo and like thought we weren't going to find out.
Yeah. You know, and the reason I ask that is because I have to imagine a part of why companies have these roles is to make sure that there isn't fraud or isn't fabrication. And there are so many different ways. Technology is so great to be so creative, but we also have to be careful that we're not getting scammed or even companies aren't being misled. So sounds like it was really dynamic. We're about to go, can you believe it already, our first commercial break. So we're going to pause right there. You're listening to Rainmakers with Lydia Aranda, and we're speaking with Ariel Barrera of Aeros Automotive and Cars for Tucson.
And we're on Facebook Live. If you'd like to watch along with listen, go to 1030 The Voice on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page. Hit the like button, too, so you'll be notified of future live events. Morning Voice will be right back. Hello.
Da, 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 da. Oh, yeah.
It's a good jam.
A great jam. I love Serpentine Fire, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Matt Neely, you're always quick with the tune. Thanks so much for all of the energy you bring into the show every day.
I've got you figured out musically. I think I got you figured out.
Wonderful stuff. We are back from our first commercial break. This is Lydia Aranda, and I'm your host on Rainmakers, the Monday segment of the weekday positive talk show, The Morning Voice, here on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. And our guest in studio this morning is Mr. Ari Barrera. Ari, so glad to have you here. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
We were just speaking before our first break a little bit about being a father figure, about opportunities that take you to different places, and having the wherewithal to even if you're a little bit nervous about it, go explore new places. So it sounds like you had a wonderful invitation by having your sister live out in another city, and you took it upon yourself to go visit whenever you could. So from Jersey to San Juan to Miami to and then to LA. Wow, that's just all around, and I'm sure you've been many other places as well.
Yeah, it was wild. It was wild. I made sure that I took, you know, I was single. I made sure to enjoy my singlehood. I know a lot of young people sometimes are nervous, but I was like, you know, this is the time. This is the time. So I've been to South America. I've been to Asia. I was just like, I got to see it. I want to see it for myself. I don't want to just
Google
it.
Traveling the world and understanding what it's all about. Good for you.
Yeah, just checking it out.
Eye-opening experiences for sure. And you learn a lot about yourself in the process as well.
Absolutely.
Things you like, things you're good at, things you thought you would like or thought you'd be good at that you're not. You know, those kinds of things. So lots of learning along the way. So we were talking a little bit before the break about once you were in Los Angeles, that then, and you had been in call center environment, you had been in the insurance environment, and then had opportunities to switch into working in automotive shop. So you started to understand a little more about entrepreneurship, I would imagine. Is that where you got the bug to then open up your own businesses?
Yes, I did. I grew up son of a locksmith. My dad had a locksmith business here in town, and so small
a
business.
Very necessary service.
Yes. And so I always had a little bit of the entrepreneur bug. I saw him do it, and I, like most kids on the South Side, I at one point I found I could buy Mexican candy wholesale and then sell it at school and then got caught and told not to do that. But, you know, you're like, hey, how did I make $100 this week? And you're 10. And so it was exciting. So got the bug back then. But yeah, as an adult I ran a small body shop for a friend in Los Angeles for a few years. Mm-hmm. And I just saw what it was and the management of it all. And I enjoyed it. And I thought, I want to try this someday.
Well, it's an important service, just like locksmith. You know, you don't always know that you need something till something goes wrong and you need it. So you've lost your keys, or your key gets stuck in a lock, or you're moving or renting and need to have those services. Same with cars. I would venture to guess some people are very, very good and proactive about caring for their car. And then many of us probably wait till a light is blinking on our dashboard, or a tire just doesn't seem to stay filled, you know, and so we're reactive in that way.
Most of us.
So tell me about once you opened up or chose to come back to Arizona. Did you come back to Arizona for the business, or did you come back to Tucson and then you and your wife opened the business afterwards?
Yeah, it was here in Tucson. It was after COVID.
Okay.
And I was at the tail end of just my of doing the auto damage thing. It was just for that season. Mm-hmm. And I started to, you know, feel things out, what it would be like to purchase a shop. So we purchased an existing business.
Nice.
And that was April of last year, actually, of 24.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Time flies.
Yes.
So, well, how wonderful, because it seems like your business is going strong. You've got a nice team there, a nice crew of mechanics. You're running the shop. You've got other activities happening with the shop, including what I have enjoyed learning about in your story is that not only do you have the business that you're very focused on, and I know on your website and in other branding, you're known as a very trusted automotive shop, and that's so important and probably gives people a lot of relief that they can feel good going in there and knowing that whatever information is shared is you know, your estimates are going to be fair, your service is going to be attentive. But now you're taking that and you're putting that into some more community service. Tell us about that.
So what I'm most passionate about right now is Cars for Tucson. So Car for Tucson stemmed from just this idea, this thought that you know, I was placed in this world and here in this world to do more, like, than just accumulate, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel, how can we give back? I felt my wife and I can give to the community. And we think that the best way to do that right now is to provide transportation to low-income families or those on the verge of houselessness. And the way we can do that was with repairs, either free, low-cost, or low-cost repairs.
Nice.
And we would like to get to a point where we're donating vehicles as well that we can recondition at the shop and give to those that are in need.
Wow, that is a really, it sounds like a multi-phased approach, but a big dream, different phases and different steps along a bigger service. I think everybody would agree that cars, you know, if you don't have transportation, it's something that one needs, especially anywhere in our state. We have limited mass transportation. It's not like LA or Miami or New Jersey and New York, where there are lots and lots of modes of public transportation that really connect far points into the hub. It seems like ours are a little more centralized. Certainly we have the bus system, but more centralized around downtown Tucson. And so, and yet we are a far-reaching community here in Southern Arizona.
I love Tucson. I want to say that real quick. But we are not.
However,
we're not a very walkable city. I believe our score is not very high, and that's okay. We can work on that.
Right.
But that puts a lot of strain on families, right? That mm-hmm. that they work at, let's say, on the east side at Golf Links and whatever, and Houghton, and they live, you know, on the south side. It's tough. Yes, it's tough. So
it's many hours of connecting and switching buses and things like that.
And so. So a car, transportation, it shouldn't have to be a luxury, right? Like, this is like a fundamental thing here mm-hmm. in Tucson, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we should all have access, because that's employment, that's education. You know, you're dropping your kids off to school. That's my belief. I think we all should have access in a town like this, right? If we're in a big city, yeah, Phoenix, Los Angeles, there's initiatives, hey, let's help out with transportation, but I think this is how we can help here.
Well, I think that that's very noble of all of you to focus on that, to put your skills and your knowledge and your expertise of not only yourself, your lived experience, but also your career experience. And then it sounds like putting that into the actual shop is allowing for others to have a little bit of help on their way. Now, Cars for Tucson is already an initiative going on. It's a newer, it is a nonprofit,
correct,
is what I understand, and is a charitable initiative. So sounds like you're going to be very much focused first on, even though the mission is, are the deliverables that you talked about, that there might be phases to get there. So maybe first starting with building some support and awareness, and with that, being able to give back the services through the shop. So we're going to talk about that when we come back from our next commercial break. You're listening to Rainmakers, KVOI.
And you can follow along on Facebook. Go to 1030 The Voice on Facebook. Hit the like button. And you can watch as well as listen today.
And we're coming back to KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice. This is Lydia Aranda, your host for the Monday segment of the Morning Voice weekday positive talk radio show. This is Rainmakers. And today in studio, we're talking with Ari Barrera about not only automotive services and the importance of taking care of your car, or wellness for cars, I like to say, but also how that has a role in philanthropy, in charity, in community development. Sounds like you've really hit on a wonderful niche that is much needed as a service, Ari, for providing people help with their transportation issues. So not only in perhaps reduced cost for services on their vehicle if they have one, maybe being able to provide interim shuttle or other transportation alternatives in, while their car is being repaired. But it sounds like also Cars for Tucson, which is your nonprofit that is working on providing these kind of services, is also looking at eventually accumulating donated vehicles, making sure they are reconditioned and good working order, so that perhaps these can actually be donated to seniors or other low-income families who might be in need. What a wonderful concept. So again, did this all come together simply by working in the auto shop, or how did you really come to see that as a feasible, because to me it sounds like not only is it a great service, but it sounds like there's a lot of details to be thinking of as you start to build up that business.
Yes, I see it as it's the way we can help, right? I think sometimes we want to get involved in our community and we see what others are doing, mm-hmm, and they're doing all these great things, so many great initiatives. And then we look at ourselves and we may get a little disappointed, like, oh, well, I can't do that and I can't do this and I don't have these connections. Well, you know, what can I do? And so I'll be honest, it started really grandiose. I can't share my full dreams and visions now because sure, they're so out there.
Well, you don't want to give away a good idea.
No, it's just right. Somebody would be like, get out of here. You're crazy. And that's okay. So then it's like, well, where do I start? Where mm-hmm can I start? How can I do my part, play my part? And so after months of wanting to get something off the ground, I was like, well, we have the shop. That's how I can help. That's how I can start helping.
Using yeah your success yeah and using the business that you have at hand and the skills, by the way.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a relatively, for an independent shop, it's kind of big. We got six bays with lifts, another three bays in the back.
Wow.
We have five technicians. And I said, well, this, you know, there's folks that a simple, we'll call it an emissions mm-hmm fail, is keeping them from registering their car. You know, imagine being put out because you now can't get to work, and
that's right,
you know, and all it was you know, some sensor, or you know, and it just breaks my heart to think that we could have done something.
Well, it sounds like not only your heart is in the right place, but you're looking at the right business aspect of that, which is so important for charitable giving these days. You mentioned that you looked around and that you are constantly paying attention to what other nonprofits or other community or even public agencies are doing to give back, and that you or others may feel that they don't, you mentioned not having the right connections or perhaps not having super large amounts of buckets of money. The truth is so many organizations or people, individuals who are giving back to community start with smaller means, because what they're doing is giving what they can, you know, kind of the parable of it's not about giving what you can spare, but giving what you have.
That's great. Yeah,
and it sounds like that's exactly where you took the reflection and said, but these are the great things that I do have. This is helpful to somebody. After all, if it's a viable business, that means there's a need for the service. And then you compared that to the backdrop of what's happening real time with people all around. And what I really enjoy hearing about people who are focused or companies who are focused about giving back is the due diligence that is being put in there, similar to, and I've seen some articles from Nonprofit Quarterly and some other write-ups recently that really kind of take that theme of when you're about to buy a car or assess whether a car is in good working order, you look at certain things like its age, the make, the model, what kind of experience or damage, you know, may have been done already that you have to be aware of if it's not a new car. And I think that happens when not only organizations are being assessed for funding or loans, but donors, philanthropic givers, foundations, and other people that contribute, corporations, they really do a lot of work behind the scenes assessing charities that they're going to give to also. You know, they look at whether or not a company has been certified or is, you know, has any BBB, Better Business Bureau ratings, or maybe industry ratings, things of that nature. And when a charity is new, it may not have ratings, or in the banking world, one might look at credit. So it might not have street credit yet, but it is starting to build it up. So at least it doesn't have bad credit. So all those kind of things go together. It sounds to me like a perfect match of assessing, you know, the performance potential of a vehicle and where it needs to be tweaked or tuned up, as well as launching a new initiative and making sure that it is sound. Sounds like you are doing an awful lot from our talks that we've had offline about connecting with different donors and potential sponsors and fiscal agencies to say, what speaks loudly about this that's positive? And instead of just blanketly asking for contribution without that discussion, sounds like you've really put in your homework to do the investigation and are listening to people to say, here's what I think might work, or here's what I would donate to, or that sounds great. Did you know there's another company that does something similar but different? Maybe the two of you can come together and collaborate. So is that really happening a lot or just a little bit?
No, yeah, great question. So I am reaching out to local entities or people in the community that are already established in maybe nonprofit work, some donors, and I do want their feedback, right? Because I'm not going to claim to know it all, of course, and I don't claim to. And if people have done this already, then why try to reinvent the wheel? You can just team up with others who have been successful.
Sure.
and they can, and I'll take the feedback, and maybe what I thought was great, you know, a great idea, they might just say, hey, have you looked at it from this perspective, or have you considered this or that, and it's helped so far. Like even part of the way we would distribute, right, the repairs, for example, initially I thought let's just blanket, just give everybody whatever they need. And so there's got to be structure and order, right?
Yes, you can't just do it all at once and have a big deal.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful what you can do and what you're trying to do here. I know a friend of mine is involved in a business that takes cars that have been totaled, right? And reconditions them so people can get to work, get a job, start getting that, you know, start pulling themselves up by the bootstraps.
Exactly.
And I'd like to get you in touch with her, Ari, but it's just fantastic what you're doing, because it's little pieces that we put together. You know, there's places that give out closets, that give out professional clothing so people can go to work and dress appropriately. And that's sometimes, you know, a big help.
Sure.
For somebody just getting started. So it's wonderful what you're doing. How many cars do you think you've put in people's hands to kind of help them get back on their feet?
Oh, so far? I'm sorry?
Yeah, so far.
Oh,
yeah.
No, we have not. We've helped with repairs so far.
Yeah, okay.
So I didn't want to share. I don't know. Not that I didn't want to share.
That's great.
We're very private about who and how we've helped so far because it was just the shop.
Sure.
And since that's a for-profit entity, it was more of like my wife and I making that decision. Hey, let's help this person out. Let's help this person out. And they get there and they don't have a bill. But that's not like promoted.
Yeah, it sounds like that was the first way to get into formal. So.
Yes, but that's a great question. But yes, that's how it started. And I don't know. It's pretty cool. We throw a randomizer in there and just like, this person gets their repair for free. They didn't even know. But now it's got to be more formal and structured. So that's where the...
Well, and like you said, you don't want everybody lining up saying, give me free service.
So that's what Cars for Tucson's coming in.
However, what a great beginning of that to say, as some people know in our customer base, we have on occasion just sort of pulled a number out of the hat, sort of like a lottery, you know, and people have won, so to speak, free service. So now you're starting to build up together. But it sounds like Matt has a colleague who actually could team up with that.
Yes, I love
with
that.
The cars that get donated
I'll
and
get
maybe
the,
have that relationship.
Information to you, Lydia, and you can share it with them.
Thank
How
you so
wonderful.
Much. Thanks, Matt.
And I didn't realize that you were doing that even in your for-profit business.
I know,
so it sounds like you really had the bug, you and your wife and your whole team really had the bug a while ago and have been building this up to make it more sound for a bigger initiative.
Yeah.
So Cars for Tucson, is there a website?
Carsfortucson.org.
And
it's
is
live.
It four as the number or spelled out?
Spelled out.
Okay.
Yes.
So carsfortucson.org.
Yes.
And this is a great community initiative that is available here in Tucson. Sounds like it might have far-reaching arms and tentacles and other people to team up with other companies. We're about to go to another commercial break. And when we come back, I think we'll talk a little bit more, Adi, about how people, you know, what might be some of your top priorities of how people can either donate, sponsor, or contribute, maybe even some volunteerism. So we're going to talk about that when we come back with Rainmakers on KVOI, The Voice.
We'd like to follow along on Facebook. We're live on Facebook with video. 1030 The Voice is the Facebook page. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Rainmakers this Monday morning, Monday, June 9th. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, on this weekly show called The Morning Voice on KVOI, The Voice, here in Tucson, Arizona. And Rainmakers is the Monday segment where we often speak about up-and-coming or shifting community initiatives, things that are helping others to succeed, workforce, small business, community engagement, all of the above. And today we have Ari Barrera in our studio this morning. Good morning, Ari. Thanks
morning.
Again for being here this morning to talk not only about your journey, what has enticed you and intrigued you all along your career path and in your personal life that has led to you owning Aero Automotive, but also the success of that business being such that has allowed you and your family to give back to community. And now you've got a new community initiative that helps others make sure that when their boat is being rocked, to quote the song that just came in during the break, Rock the Boat, you are able to help folks find a way to get through that crisis on occasion. Maybe not every time, maybe not every day, but Cars for Tucson, which is your new community initiative and nonprofit, is able to help people with needed car repairs, maybe to help reduce the cost or even perhaps get complimentary service and maybe even pick up a vehicle along the way in future. What am I missing there?
Yeah, that's it. You that was perfectly explained. So we'd love to be able to help with those repairs. And if there's a family in need, imagine how great it would be to give them a vehicle, provide an actual vehicle.
So it might be an individual, it might be a family in need, it might be seniors who maybe are finding themselves without transportation, but are still driving. So that's good. You know, it's interesting, during some of our conversations and over the breaks, we've talked about the fact that you've also been able to enjoy in your business being able to really pay attention to your customers' needs, not only in the actual service that they have, but you and your mechanics and everybody are, you know, kind of talk about what the customer's story is, what the circumstance is going on that might have put them in a difficult situation. And often you've been able to discount or maybe even provide complimentary service here and there for different folks, students or folks that were really up against a financial crisis. Is that kind of what spurred you into formalizing this into Cars for Tucson?
Absolutely. You know, you get to know that your customers, of course. You do hear those stories. You hear, and maybe they may not share it, right? Maybe not, somebody doesn't tell you right off the bat, hey, we're hurting, we're struggling. Mm-hmm. But you can see, you can tell, right? There may be conversation amongst family right outside. What are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? We need these brakes. The car's no longer safe. What are we going to do? And I just figured we needed to get involved. We needed to help. As I've mentioned, I've said this a few times, this is how I can help. This is what I'm able to do, having the shop. So we're also partnered with a widow and widowers group there on the Far East Side, with some of our seniors, that may not have anybody else to assist, and they know, and it's been expressed very clearly, if you ever in a financial bind, something is going on, you got to let me know and we'll figure it out.
That's really attentive, and I think such a great message about how we help communities thrive is really knowing what's going on in the ground, and that takes time. It takes time and attention and commitment to finding out the temperature read of what's going on around you, and not only focusing on your own business or your own family, but really taking a broader look at community, try to solve some of the needs. All of this goes together. This is how we create more wellness in community, meaning well and safe communities. But it also sounds like you are networking a little bit. It may be into spaces that you hadn't before. In other words, maybe understanding a little more, hearing from first responders or law enforcement about trends that might be going on, or in the faith-based community, you know, hearing from congregation or neighbors groups. I love what you just gave as an example of widow and widowers group. You know, that's a segment we don't always think about as a sector that could really use a lot of help, not only companionship, but really help fulfill needs that maybe that spouse provided for the other. We are getting ready to break from our first hour. So, Ari, it's been such a pleasure having you here this first hour. When we come back, we're going to do a little bit more conversation about dads and docs and wellness and community and father's roles.
Sounds fun.
That.
Looking forward
Please
to it.
Please stick with us. KVOI The Voice, Rainmakers on Mondays. And we're back. This is Rainmakers. We are in our second hour segment this lovely Monday, June 9th. It is warmer. We are officially, I know we're not officially on the seasonal chart in summer, but for Arizonans, we are in summer. It's going to be 103 today. We are excited to be continuing our conversations throughout the month of June, focusing on National Men's Health and lots of topics that relate to wellness, but particularly from a men's angle. We've had for our first hour, and continuing with me the second hour here in studio, is Mr. Ari Barrera, who is owner and proprietor of Aero Automotive. Ari, nice to have you still with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
And we are also talking about initiatives that speak about wellness for cars and wellness in families, helping to support unexpected situations or perhaps some income crisis or other crisis with cars. And therefore, Ari and his company and his wife have started a community initiative called Cars for Tucson that seeks to help, as it starts to build up new sponsors and support, seeks to help being able to provide services at lower cost or maybe on occasion even for free.
Correct. We'd love that. We'd love it to be free, low cost, or provide an actual vehicle for times, you know, when times get rough and and a family is in need. And we want to make sure to help those that are low income or on the verge of houselessness that you don't know what could be going on in their lives.
That's fantastic. And I think that translates well into a particular topic that we're going to talk about right now with our second guest. And again, along the themes of dads and docs and being able to provide input, provide safety, provide strength and security, doctors play such a big role, not only in their professional advice and service and treatment, but as fathers, too, I think they bring a particular perspective as male doctors to be able to maybe touch more into what's happening with the family at large, and maybe particularly for sons, dads, and grandfathers to be paying attention to their health. So our special guest to talk a little bit about this is Dr. Enrique Cifuentes from Gila Medical Clinics, a good friend and colleague. Dr. Cifuentes, bienvenida. Nice to have you here this lovely Monday morning.
Good morning, Lydia. Thank you very much for the invitation. It's a great honor to be here at the radio show this morning.
Well, thank you so much. I know that you are always busy, and Mondays for sure are a busy time. And I appreciate you taking just a little bit of time this morning to talk with us about the importance of paying attention to one's own health and being able to perhaps be a little proactive and not be afraid, but make your appointments with your doctors, especially to the men in our lives, to make sure to really stay on top of getting in there, having your exams, getting ahead of any issue before it becomes a crisis, correct?
That's correct, and you're totally right, because we tend to go and take care of ourselves because, you know, we're too busy, we're on the go all the time. But it's very important to, you know, good care in terms of doing labs and doing the electrocardiogram, because I have been able to detect a lot of conditions that can be prevented before it's too late. You know, that's very
so important. It's so important to do. I want to give you some congratulations, Dr. Cifuentes, not only on you and your family having such a successful multi-generational medical business, and being able to serve not only geriatric is one specialty, but also the pediatric. So you've got both ends there, both kind of attentions to very potentially vulnerable patients. But in addition to that, you've had many, many years with ALMA, the Association of Latin American Medical Association here in Arizona. And in ALMA, you not only are a member, but you are a past chair of the board. And the mission of ALMA is really not only to bring, if I understand it correctly, is to bring doctors, nurses, other practitioners together. But all of you do so much in also investing in the up-and-coming doctors by providing scholarship to med students, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And we support a lot of medical students from Tucson, U of A. In the past events, in the gala, we have a ball dance. We have given a lot of scholarships to those students who they really need the help, you know, to get going with their medical studies and future career, you know.
Fantastic. And I think a lot of people forget that or maybe aren't even aware, people who are studying or planning to study medicine and other kinds of health and wellness, they may not be aware of how much ALMA does. The organization has been around for many decades, isn't that correct? Almost 30, I think?
Yeah, that's correct. Uh-huh. I was exposed to ALMA when I was a student as well, and I felt like, you know, there was a need for that support for students. So it was really good. So that's why when I finished my residency, I decided to help those students, and it was great. I remember, as you know, I grew up in Hermosillo, but I was born in Tucson, so I moved back to Phoenix, and for some reason I never had the opportunity to live in Tucson just for a few years, but then I settled in here I was able to help a lot of students, and I feel happy that, you know, Alma, with my support, my coordination with Adolfo and Dr. Salazar, we've been doing, I think, a great support to those students.
Well, we really appreciate your efforts. And yes, I do recall that you are also a Tucson native. And so just like our other guest this morning, who is Ari Barrera, he's here in studio with me. Say hi, Ari.
Doctor Cifuentes, otro hermosillense aquí.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for, for being
two
here.
Two from Hermosillo. Yeah. And of course, my grandparents have a background from Hermosillo as well. So we are all connected in that way today. But also with our bases, our hub out of Tucson, and providing services that really do help Southern Arizona. And for you, Dr. Cifuentes, I want to thank you again for all of the attention that you give to the importance of service that you you and your clinics and all of your staff are very good, particularly at attending to and making sure that people who maybe have lower income or maybe are not sure how to navigate the medical system because they might have limited income, you are very good at explaining services. You receive Medicaid. You are able to point them to therapists and other people. So you're helping on the professional side as well as on the side of what the patients need. And that's a full attention. That really is admirable that you can be so dedicated to both sides of the service.
Absolutely, yes. And we have a clinic in South Phoenix that has been in that location for, I would say, more than 40 years. And Dr. Casares, he was the founding member, so he retired. We took over. We continue with his legacy. And we have a lab. We have a small pharmacy with very good prices for patients who are on a limited income. And then also, you know, the consultation to try to be as low as possible in terms of prices, reasonable with patients who are struggling. And that's all we do. We love to take care of our community, and especially the Hispanics, but we serve all cultures, you know, not only the Latino community.
Absolutely. You are very attentive, well, and especially where your services are set up, very multicultural areas, and folks from all walks of life. And I think also in tribute, not only are you a father, but in tribute to your father who helped found the business, and meaning the clinical services, and really expanded. And now under your watch, you are doing great things with Alma as well. Tell us and our listeners a little bit about perhaps the legacy of your father, Dr. Cifuentes Sr., specialties or dreams that he had in establishing not only in being a doctor, but maybe visions and things he hoped to accomplish with this practice.
Oh, so my father started a clinic here when we moved from Hermosillo in 1998, in kind of the same area, South Phoenix, like Central and 7th Street. And he was part of a big group at the time, Phoenix Memorial. Then he decided to go solo, get some independence. And he started very small, you know, one front desk, one back office. And after many years of good service, hard work, he made the organization a little bit bigger. I finished my residency training in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I joined the practice, and we made it a little bit bigger so that way we can have more presence in the community and help others in need with the locations that we were able to open throughout the
metropolitan area.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I know in my experience with you, I'm always thrilled when you, your family, your colleagues, even some of your fellow leaders at the ALMA Association, and of course your family, come to Southern Arizona. I know that we've had you down in Tucson for some, not only for some visits, but really speaking about what the community needs are and finding a way to connect people into the services, the information, and the resources that you all provide. And I look forward to the fact that I have no doubt that we're going to be doing more together and including other sectors like services for attentive to veterans, attentive to the elderly, maybe attentive to, again, particularly this month, we're focused on men, but men, women, girls, students, athletes, all kind of people need to be paying attention to their not only to their health as fixing something, perhaps, but really being more proactive in owning their health journey.
Absolutely, that's why it's very important to get vitamins, supplements, and just be in good health, so we can keep doing what we love to do in any field, any work areas that patients, people are doing.
Well, and also in this day and age where so much is happening with regulations, with maybe resources and services and policies like Medicaid, SNAP, and so many others, it seems like there is not a day that goes by where perhaps patient groups or even fellow health workers or people in the medical profession are coming together to say, what else can we do to get correct information out there to perhaps advocate for keeping services and budgets and collaborating together to get out in community and hold some workshops maybe or do some trainings or where it's possible, just encourage people to be active and not only active and engaged in information, but again, it's so important to be proactive in our health journey. So I think that's one thing that it's been such a pleasure to have you on, Dr. Steve Fuentes, and with you and Adi together talking about as fathers, but also as father figure leaders in community, so to speak. You are both doing an awful lot in your professions to help serve the community and give people inspiration. And you're both helping so much.
Thank you, Lydia. I appreciate the words. That means a lot. Thank you.
Well, all of our best. I know that we are looking to continue the conversation, and we are going to be taking another commercial break here. So, Dr. Cifuentes, thank you so much. If you're able to stay on, we'd love to talk to you more, but I understand you've got a practice to run. So we appreciate you being on Rainmakers this morning, KVOI The Voice.
Yes, thank you so much, Lydia, for the invitation. And if you don't mind, you can connect with me at some other time, so that way I don't go late with the first patient that I had this morning. So
that sounds great. Well, you enjoy. Yes. Have a wonderful day, Dr. Cifuentes.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much for the invitation, Lydia. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we're back after this break. You're listening to Rainmakers. And we're back. This is Lydia Aranda, your host of Rainmakers on Monday mornings. This is the Monday segment of the weekday Positive Talk Radio Show, The Morning Voice, here on 1030 The Voice in the KVOI studios. We're in Tucson, Arizona this morning in studio, and my guest this morning in studio has been Ari Barrera. Hi, Ari.
Hello, good morning.
It's nice to continue to have you here speaking about not only your personal journey, your business success, in the industry of insurance and automotive support, but then becoming an entrepreneur in a number of different ways, but currently with your business that you and your family, you and your wife own, Aero Automotive, but also what that type of business does to give back into community has led for you to start a new community initiative, a nonprofit initiative that is going to give back, I believe, for years and years and years to come. Brand new, the Cars for Tucson.
Cars for Tucson.
Cars for Tucson. And we are so excited about that mission. And we were just listening before the break to another colleague, Dr. Enrique Cifuentes from Gila Medical Services. And he was talking just very briefly, giving us a couple of little reminders that in order to be able to give back to community or to give to our families or take care of the business at hand, we need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves. Our health is so important. And it seems to me that his background, what was kind of interesting, I don't know what your thoughts are about this, Ari, but when he was talking a little bit about trying to really accommodate as best as possible the different type of patients that he has, he serves from the youngest in the pediatrics to our elders in the geriatric services and everything in between. And his business, actually, his medical practice is a family practice that was started by his father. So he has learned a lot along the way about how to give back, how to incorporate patients, and really the bedside manner to encourage patients to be active in their own health journey is important. Sounds like you do that and take that same approach with your customer base as well, that you really try to get to know your clientele and understand and build that trust so that you can have honest conversations, not just about the status of their car, although that's very important, but really building trust to be able to understand what else is going on in people's lives.
That's right. Yeah, you build a relationship with your clients. One of the questions that we ask is, what is your goal for this vehicle? Is it to just keep it running through the end of the summer? You're going to buy a new vehicle. Is this your forever car now? Are we going to just keep this vehicle running? This is your last vehicle purchase, because we see that, right? Mm-hmm. A senior who's in their late 70s, 80s, and they're thinking, this is it. I'm buying this,
I'm keeping this one running.
Yeah. And so we see that, and we like to, that's very important, because that affects also their pocket, their pockets, right? Their mm-hmm. checkbook. And we want to be conscious of that. Sure. So there are items that are safety related that you can't put those off. brakes, tires, you need to address those immediately. But if we know also maybe financially they're not able to put money into addressing all items, we'll let them know, hey, that's...
Then you prioritize.
Yeah, this can wait, this or that can wait. Maybe a suspension component that may not be safety related, just affects your ride. May not be as comfy, but you'll be safe anywhere you go.
I think that's where the trust factor comes in, and you bring up such a good point, is really understanding what the goal is as well. And Dr. Cifuentes was referring to making sure to talk to his patients also about understanding kind of the breadth and depth of what's going on in their health. And I believe folks often, and I'll just toss the question actually over to you as a man, as a father, what do you think a challenge might be for tackling health issues? I know for me, I try to think about what really do I feel that I need to tackle so that I feel better now? But there may be a different way to look at that. What's your perspective?
I think as men, so this has nothing to do with Arrow, by the way, or Cars for Tucson, which
yeah,
I'm
switching
most
into the
excited
health
about.
Topic.
But just my opinion on that as men, and a lot of times Latinos, we are just, we have this like just push through mentality, just mow through it. We got a lot going on, have a lot on my plate, and I'm just going to get through this. And the health is on the back burner, and we need to stop, and we need to get lab work done, and you need to step on a scale once in a while. Yes, I've gained this much weight. What? Just so that we're
just
aware.
Just be honest about it.
And be aware, because if we're just going through life and going through the motions and putting our health on the back burner, that can come back to bite us, right? And then we're not able to help our community or our families, our kids. We're not able to be there because we have health issues.
Well, and it's kind of funny, and some people might say, like, what is the connection between automotive and health? But when you were talking about the assessment and the conversation that you're having right now about being able to attend to our health, a couple things always come into people's minds. The time, do I have something else that I need to deal with, so I'll just put it off or procrastinate? And the money involved with that. And when it comes to our health, sometimes things cost Yep. Also, you know, you can't always get in to see a specialist, perhaps, if that's needed. There might be a different kind of bill or copay or requirement. Or, and here's the big kicker, we may not know. So therefore, then we don't go in to either see if our, you know, what it might cost or how I might prioritize my car repairs. Same thing. We might not go in to go see our caregiver because in the back of our mind, we might feel badly that we don't have full health or even any health care at all. So those are questions to keep in mind that I'd really like to tackle when we come back from this next commercial break. Again, Rainmakers, KVOI The Voice. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda.
And we'll see you on Facebook Live. Go to 1030 The Voice on Facebook, and you can watch along with Listen. Morning Voice will be right back.
And we're back this morning on Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and it's a lovely Monday morning, June 9th. We have been speaking with Ari Barrera of Aero Automotive and also his new community initiative called Cars for Tucson. Ari, nice to have you back in studio. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
And I understand, actually, before the break, we were talking about a couple of things related to health, both in cars as well as ourselves, and being ahead of time and thinking about whether we should invest in that time of paying attention to what is needed and learning to prioritize. But before we get to all that, we have a caller on the line. I understand that Scott is calling in and has a question for us about storing cars. I want to hear your question first, Scott, but I might already have an idea. Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Oh, hi. Good morning. Thank you. I really, hats off to your guest for what he's doing for the community. And also for, in full disclosure, I do some work with the Tucson Auto Museum. And so I just was very interested to know what might be a good way to store cars because, you know, there's a lot of cars over there that are fantastic, including the Batmobile, I'm sure. It sounds like he's probably worked on all kinds. But, you know, just because you don't own the Batmobile, you still have to take care of these things. I know the sun is tough on the tires and et cetera, et cetera. So how do you, if you have more, I know a lot of folks have extra cars in Tucson and maybe they don't drive them every day. And, you know, I always wonder about the gasoline and what do you recommend for just trying to keep those things on the road, even though they're not on the road? I don't know if that makes sense.
That's a great question, Scott. I'm going to toss that over to you, Ari, although I'm kind of thinking you said auto museum and I don't even know, maybe they rent some space out, but in addition yes. to that, Adi, what do you think?
Great question, Scott. And so here in Tucson, it's very different than you know, each region has its own way to store because of the humidity in some places. It's very dry here in Tucson. The main thing I would say is if you don't have indoor storage, you want things to be away from direct sunlight. That's the first thing.
So just shade of some sort.
Whatever shade you can buy, even a cheap cover, you know, off of Amazon or Walmart, whatever, because that's going to help all the plastics on the outside of the car just preserve just because they dry, things here dry rot sure. very quickly. So any cover you can get, any cover on your tires. Here in Arizona or in the Southwest region, we actually don't use the life of our tires here. We don't use them all typically. Everybody's concerned about, are they 40, you know, 1,000 mile tires, 80,000? It doesn't matter.
They go away a lot sooner than that.
Because they
and
dry
on
rot.
And on Tucson roads,
yes,
I'm sorry to say.
Too. But because those tires, the tires are manufactured for like standard humidity levels, which we don't have.
Right.
So tires dry rot here. Cover them up in the summer when you're not driving them. You don't want them to get hit by the sun. Also, your fuel, I think I heard you mention fluids or fuel. This was an interesting one. You actually want a full tank of gas before you stop driving it for an extended period here.
Oh, interesting. Why is that?
Because you don't want, it minimizes the airspace in the tank. And so you don't want air in there because that can prevent condensation and rust as well. So that's something you don't think about. Right?
I bet that's something that not a lot of people know. Scott, is that helpful to you?
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, I noticed there's a lot of potholes, and I don't want to get into a political show here, but I sure wish the mayor would fix those.
Well, we're trying. I think administration after administration after administration, that's been a challenge, but we're getting there. Really appreciate your question, and I'm going to tell you on an individual note, appreciate you bringing up the Auto Museum. We've had the executive director of the Tucson Auto Museum here on our show in the past, and he had so many fabulous things to share about what's going on, collections, and the fact that in their new space, which is way out on the east side, they have a community room, they have meeting space, and are trying to accommodate a lot more, especially going into these hot months, to encourage people to come for tours. So we're going to give them another little plug there. Thanks for bringing it up, Scott. You have a nice day.
Thanks.
So, Ari, that was interesting. I never knew that about gasoline and putting that into the tank, and especially if one knows that it's going to sit for a bit or even a long bit, maybe going on vacation or sometimes parking at the airport before flying away for a few days, especially in the heat. Kind of reminds me that we are all supposed to be hydrated. So that's kind of what came into my mind is hydrate so that you don't have air in there either expanding or drying out or causing some issues, like you said.
Yeah. That's extreme. Folks forget that we have extreme climate here in Arizona.
We do.
It is extreme, and we don't think of that.
Because we're used to it. We are Sonoran and used to our settings. But speaking of cars and collecting cars and things like that, I'm curious about how we are, or how you, and I say we as the greater community, how we at large are going to be able to maybe stay in touch with you and Cars for Tucson as we perhaps come across either items, full-on vehicles or maybe vehicle parts that are new. What comes to mind is other businesses closing out or maybe somewhere, somehow, somebody having surplus of supplies, maybe even in an estate sale, having a vehicle or maybe parts of vehicles to be able to donate to Cars for Tucson. In addition to cash, it sounds like maybe items or in-kind donation might be something as well.
That's right, because it can all be used for the end goal, which is to provide low-cost repairs, free repairs, or transportation. So,
reconditioned or down the road a bit. The long-term goal is a reconditioned car to be given away.
That's correct. So carsfortucson.org, that's where you can reach out. There's a few tabs there. You can also see
learn the story a little more.
Yeah, and donate a vehicle if you're able to.
That's fantastic. Back to health. We were speaking a little bit about trying to be proactive, but also not being afraid to go in and ask the questions. And even if you don't have the resources, whether for your car's health or your own health, there are programs out there and people out there who want to help. So the first thing to do is to have the wherewithal to go in and ask questions, make your appointment, and really just start to build a plan. Not everything has to be done all at once. And so I'm going to do a shout out to the general community and to our listeners that if you want to get engaged in helping in the transportation challenges, please keep Aero Automotive for your services and Cars for Tucson for donations and support in that mission. If you want to get ahead in health, visit your doctors, visit your caregivers, pay attention to your food and nutrition. If you don't have health care coverage, please go get signed up with Access or see if you qualify for Access. That's the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System here in Arizona, which is Medicaid. And also there are other supplemental resources still, SNAP for food assistance and nutrition assistance and many other programs. And if you're worried about all of that service going away, please contact your representatives. It's very important that we keep those resources available to Arizonans. And I'm going to say it's very important that we pay attention to community initiatives like Cars for Tucson to make sure that people are getting the help they need if they're finding themselves in need of transportation, if car repair, or if wanting to know how to qualify for that ahead of the game. So that should a crisis occur, they're already ready with the information. Ari, are there phone numbers that people can reach you?
Right now, it is through the website. It is through carsfortucson.org.
Yep,
that's where they're contact us form.
Yes. Super. That's wonderful. And if someone is looking to find a new auto mechanic, they can find you at Aero Automotive out in the East Valley, right? You're out on Golf Links?
Yeah, Golf Links in Harrison. AeroTucson.com is the website.
Okay.
They can reach us there. We do pre-purchase inspections, speaking about health.
That's great to know.
Yeah, before you buy a car, most reputable sellers will let you take the vehicle to a shop, any shop of your choice. It doesn't have to be Aero, and get it inspected. I mean, we do that with a lot of other things, right? We review them, and why not get a used, if you're going to buy a used car, you can also get that inspection completed.
That's good to know. I think people are familiar with test drives, but they might not be familiar with the fact that they are allowed, or most dealerships will allow and support in order to be able to sell in good confidence, that folks might want to have it given a quick look-see.
Yeah, that's right. We look at the undercarriage, safety components, everything. Are there any leaks, any active leaks? And most reputable sellers will let you take the vehicle for that inspection. I've had dealerships, by the way, don't be afraid to ask. I've had dealerships deliver the car to the shop, and then we schedule it out, and then just pick up the car a few hours later. They'll do that for the buyer.
I bet that's something that not everybody, certainly, I'm going to guess seasoned buyers, people who have bought vehicles frequently, might be aware of that. But for first-time car buyers or people who just may not have dealt with a dealership, maybe they've only done privately owned vehicles. And I wonder, that might be a negotiable point request, even in a private sale, to maybe have the current owner accompany it for an expense. For an inspection as well. That was hard for me to say right now. Must be meaning that we're ready to go on our next break. So with that, we're going to listen, I have no doubt, to some really fun music. It sounds like we got some Double Dutch Bus going on here as we go into commercial break. You're listening to KVOI The Voice, Morning Rainmakers. And we're back for our final segment here on this lovely Monday morning. It is June 9th. We are in studio at the KVOI Studios for Rainmakers. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and we've had for the past 2 hours our featured guest, Ari Barrera of Aero Automotive, and even more excitingly, a new community initiative that he has founded called Cars for Tucson. Ari, what do you think? It's gone by so quickly this morning.
It has. Time flies. Time flies when you're having fun. Right?
That's right. Right before the break, we were talking about inspections and the fact that there are lots of ways to get inspections done before a sale, whether it is for a used car or a new car. Usually in the used cars, people are more flexible and accommodating with that. And it's even more important to do it when a car has been used to really find out if there might just be something that maybe not a scam, maybe not a fraud or anything nefarious that way, but really there just might be something going on that could lead to a bigger problem that one would want to know about ahead of time.
That's right. Yeah.
And there are ways to negotiate that, to come in and either get a free or have the previous owner, cover the charges for a quick look-see to make sure everything's moving properly.
Yeah, absolutely. And there, for what it is, for the information, the value that it brings, it's not very expensive. At our shop, it's $85, which is very competitive. I think some shops charge over $100 for those, but we're at $85, and we do a little road test. We put the car on a lift. We look everything, all the safety components, brakes, suspension. We look over the engine bay, make sure that there's no active leaks, anything going on. We take photo and video of everything if there's a problem, so that you have that inspection report. We call it a health report, by the way, your vehicle's health report. We're talking about health today, right? Dads and docs.
Yeah.
And
docs could be DOCS, like doctors, or docs like the dock where you lift it in the bay, right?
Yes. And so, so that's very important, especially a used vehicle. There could be history there. And
you just want to know.
Last thing you want is to spend all that money and...
That's right.
And it needs repairs.
It's well worth before a big investment. Speaking about spending money and big investments, one of the things that Cars for Tucson, together with other entities, other financial institutions, and probably other community organizations as well, is getting involved in is providing financial literacy workshops and little courses to make sure that the community at large is savvy In their financial skills, in their literacy about finance, credit, things like that. Nothing arduous. It's not like a university course in finance, but it is a financial literacy workshop, seminars. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, so Cars for Tucson, apart from our goal, which I've mentioned a few times, we want to be able to provide either free car repairs, low-cost car repairs, or at some point providing vehicles, mm-hmm. Free vehicles and transportation. We feel that it's important to also help the community with, it would be financial literacy classes. And they would, again, there would be entry level, just very basic money tracking, how to keep a budget.
And the importance of doing so, not just how to do it, but why to do it.
Absolutely. So we're looking at certain spaces downtown for that. We're very excited. New offices that are coming up that are opening up there on Alameda near 191 Tool, if anyone's familiar, just across the street from there.
Super. So right in the heart of downtown. So That's you right. can also have lots of good food around you, maybe yes. a cool beverage. Tune up on your financial knowledge and your acumen of finance, which may be a refresher course for some, might be first time or brand new information for others, and really has nothing to do with age as much as experience. Always good to know why it's important to have good credit or how to assess and plan for and save and budget up for big expenses like a car or homes or any other kind of big investment. And yeah, so financial health. So we've talked about auto health, financial health, physical health, and overall well-being and community and the roles that we all can play in helping others be able to take control of leading their own journey.
That's right.
It's been a wonderful Monday. I know we're getting ready to wrap up, but Ari, one last plug. So we got carsfortucson.org, just like it sounds, carsfortucson, all spelled out, .org, to find out more about how you can get involved in helping others reach their transportation or vehicle goals. That's been such a pleasure having you in this morning. I do
Likewise.
Hope you'll come back.
Yes, thank you again for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And as always, Matt Neely, it's been wonderful having you. Thanks for all the
Thank
groovy
you,
tunes.
Yeah, good show.
I know that we are all about making rain in the community, for the community, and growing positively. Don't forget to keep in touch with us live on Facebook. And for listeners, remember that our next Morning Voice Eat and Greet is going to be on June 26th.
Thursday the 26th, right? 5:30. Casa del Rio.
Casa del Rio. 22nd Pandino. For Mexican food. That's right. We did Italian last time, Mexican this time. Everyone have a wonderful Monday and a great week. Thanks for listening.